Live and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, the doctrine of peace, Roman numeral 3, the doctrine of peace. God has established in his wisdom the local church, the lampstand, as the classroom of Christianity, and believers live under the royal imperative to assemble themselves together and to worship God in spirit and in truth. The component parts of this environment, the believer who is positive, called a disciple, a student. The textbook is the Word of God. And all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is necessary for the advancement of positive volition. And then there is the gift of the pastor-teacher and the particulars with regard to that doctrine. Your other requirement is to make sure that you sit here and listen in fellowship. And God has given us all the same grace to make the second adjustment to God, to rebound when we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to receive the spiritual edification that we need, and trust in God that He works all things together for our good. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity and the freedom to be able to assemble ourselves together in these perilous times. But we thank you as well that you've given us the doctrinal hope and orientation to our place and time in history. We ask that you bless the things communicated today, that we might truly exploit and enjoy the peace that is ours if we apply and live under the truth. In Christ's name, amen. God, as we saw, promotes peace in the human race. He is not promoting conflict and things of that nature. God is a God of peace. Obviously, the human race needs to recognize that they are not at peace with God, being outside Christ, and that they can have peace with God through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. But they must believe in Him. That's the first step to ending the enmity that prevails over humanity due to the fall, due to being in Adam. This can be overcome in a second by an individual who will believe in Jesus Christ in time for eternal salvation, and in that sense, they have peace with God for eternity. Then we move on to inner peace. This is a dynamic. We can call it by various names. Being relaxed about things. Trusting in God. Faith resting stuff. Or we can be in inner turmoil and conflict. Externally and internally. First, we have to get our mind set on God, His promises, His word, through prayer, and we can activate that peace that God has promised. Point one, or point three, there is an inner peace. Now, this can be faked. This can be faked. There is an inner peace or security that constitutes a part of the spiritual dynamics of the adjusted believer. Jesus promised his disciples this peace, not as the world gives, The world can offer you a pleasant environment, a pleasant set of circumstances, where people are, for the moment, saying all is well. But that can be easily overturned by misfortune, various factors, and that can all be upset with a change in the environment or circumstances that the individual finds him or herself in. John 14, 27. After informing his disciples, because this is towards the end of his public ministry, and Jesus Christ would be glorified and raised to the right hand of God, where he now sits in the co-rulership with God the Father. I'll pick up with verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Hence, for all who are listening, truly listening, the importance of learning the plan of God. You're in the right environment. You're in the right place to start learning about God and His plan incrementally. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. As noted, there is a type of peace, harmony, well-being, whatever you want to call it, that is offered by the circumstances that one might live in within the cosmos. But we have seen how easily that can all be shattered by a change in circumstances, on a personal level, on a wider level. That's cosmos peace. That's where people are saying, all is well with me. But until you start lining up with God and His plan, you cannot enjoy peace in spite of your circumstances. Your circumstances will change from day to day, time to time. The good things, the bad things, you can still have peace. Peace on the inside. Through the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and through focusing on God's promises and His truth. This will give you peace. This will set you free from the anxiety and the trauma even that exists in living in this world. But it's only available to those who listen and receive it. It all starts with making the salvation adjustment. For those out there in the world, there's a lot of people in a lot of turmoil. Self-induced, brought on by others, whatever its source of it. This can be changed by them becoming believers and beginning to learn how to act and conduct yourself. As human beings, we don't naturally know how to do that. We have to learn about God and His plan in order to make that happen. So to His disciples, who would face conflict as they would go forth after His departure and begin to spread the good news and begin to teach positive volition in the world, it wouldn't all be easy. They would have difficulties. They would have conflicts. They would have opposition. They would suffer various things. Do not let your heart be troubled. We have a variety of commands in Scripture that tells us, as believers, that we're not to be upset about stuff. We're not to get all worked up. And that fear, anxiety, is a sin. And we're told not to do it, just like we're told not to do a lot of other things. We're not to fall into that. You may have various tests going on in your life at any given time, and you are expected, and I am expected, to handle these things with spiritual poise, being in fellowship, knowing that God is working this for our good. We don't have to, and worrying about tomorrow. People are always worrying about tomorrow. What am I going to do? This and this. Get with God and get with His plan and realize that He is perfect and He will provide for you and take care of you. Versus, again, being all upset, all worked up, out of fellowship about things. You've got things you want changed, no doubt, in your favor. We are told to wait on the Lord, be patient, have a relaxed mental attitude, and He'll work this out for you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Any degree or level of that is inappropriate. Well, I'm just worrying about. Quit it. Knock it off. End it. Cast fear out. Place God the Holy Spirit in control. And faith rest the adversity, the circumstance that you find yourself under at any given time. That's what we are to do. We are not to live like the world, all wrapped up about stuff. You can watch the news, get all stirred up, turn it off. A lot of it is misinformation anyway, and propaganda. Yes, we learn about what's going on. That's okay. But don't feed on this stuff. Don't live with your head buried in this mess. Find something else to do with your time. Pray about it. Seek it. And you will find it. You will find peace. I have to, as in my position. I can get all worked up about people and things. And then I can just relax. Everything's going to take care of itself. I don't care who's in my face. I don't care who's worked up about whatever. Just keep doing, I tell myself, what you've been doing. And God will take care of the rest of it. 16:33. These things I have spoken to you. All that doctrine Jesus gave. Not just doctrine about don't be afraid of things. And don't be upset and troubled about stuff. Not just that, but everything He taught them. All doctrine is there so you may have peace. So it's keyed to a body of truth, a body of information that gives you peace. We have a source of peace for living in these tumultuous times. We see all the prophecies coming together. And we know the world is in bad shape. Not just those that are prospering, but all across the earth, things are in turmoil and conflict. But God is moving His plan forward. And we know it and we see it. And we have joy because we're on the proximity of getting out of here. Being raptured out of here. And to be with the Lord in resurrection glory. So that in me you may have peace. You'll notice that is potential here. You may have it. You may not. But you've got to want it and you have to desire it. In the world you have tribulation. There you go. In the world you have pressures. Tribulation. Jesus' disciples would go out with the good news and the plan of God in a hostile world. A pagan world. They don't want, a lot of these people, they don't want to hear this. It's a threat to them. And they react. In the world, you have tribulation. And that comes in a variety of forms. But take courage. I've overcome the world. And here, when he speaks these things, he has not yet been resurrected. That will be the ultimate overcoming of the cosmos. He would go to a cross. He would bear the sins of the world. He would die physically. And he would be raised up. He would raise himself up. Because he's God. That is his humanity. Because he's deity, can't die. Prayer plays an active role in inner peace, Philippians 4. Familiar to those of us who have studied, and fairly recently, the entire book of Philippians. Get yourself in a circumstance. You're not happy. You don't have inner joy. Focus on this. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. This is something that can pull you and snap you out of things. Know what you have in Christ. Rejoice in who and what He is. What He has promised. He's coming back for us. And we will be with Him forever. And we will be completely removed from all tribulation, all pressure at that point. This is the promise to everyone who is a believer. But every believer doesn't enjoy the fact that they can rejoice in the Lord. Right in your circumstances, whatever you're up against, you are equally, as a believer, a member of the plan of God, and you have the same basic promises. But they don't mean anything if you don't know them and you don't think about them. So in the midst of all of this, you can rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's a command. It's a direct command to celebrate and rejoice. People get happy about a lot of different things, don't they? Some event, some occurrence, something comes their way, and they rejoice. Fine. But we can rejoice no matter what our circumstances are. We're believers. We've helped nail that down further in our study of 1 John. We have eternal life. It exists in our soul. And it will translate into a resurrection body. Perfect and just like Jesus Christ. No aging, no pain, no nothing. That's in the offing for every believer. There's believers who have waited centuries for this. But they're in heaven and they're happy. But we are waiting for the upward call. Getting out of here. Now this only resonates in the hearts of those who have heard it, know it, and are focused on the blessed hope, which I am every day of my life. More than ever in my life, I think about being delivered from this mess. The mess on the inside, the mess out there. All of it. Won't have to think about death, aging, pain, none of it. We will be raised up with Christ in the air and judged by our works, and we'll go to heaven and come back with Him 7 years later and rule over the nations of the earth. And all the other details that are involved in that. A lot of exhortations in the Bible, imperatives, that it's one thing to read them and hear about them. It's another thing to go out there and do it. In dealing with humans out there in general, a lot of them are not pleasant people. They're definitely not pleasant people. They're rude. They're selfish. And all the other things. But in dealing with people, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. You're not reactive, taking it personally, an insult. Let it go. Let it go. Set yourself free from that. Don't be easily provoked by people who are out in the general public who are rude, who are not kind. There are those who are, of course, but there are those who are not. They're implacable. All that list of things in Timothy, the character of people in the last days, magnified, without natural affection, boastful. All that list of stuff to run into out there in people. When you're dealing with people, let your forbearance be shown before them. People get upset with the least little inconvenience, or somebody didn't, it's my turn. Or they took my parking spot. Let them have it. See? These are things we have to deal with. You have to deal with these people. Customers that are, almost incorrigible. Just be gentle with them. The Lord is near. And then the key to this all, this is a high order, and I don't fulfill it in every way and every moment. I'm not trying to tell you that. But I know what I'm supposed to do. And I catch myself with moments of anxiety over things. Things I can't change. They're just there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is another word for prayer, for a more intense prayer, where you're really, under something. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So this formula is how you take care of these things. But if you don't use the formula or the recipe, you don't get the product. You are to pray about these things. Get in fellowship. Pray about the thing that is making you anxious. Think of all the ways you can have anxiety. It is not good for your mental health, physical health. It doesn't glorify God. You have an alternative. An alternative to relax. Get in fellowship and let God deal with it and help you through it. And if you do that, which is found in verse 6, stop the anxiety, confess the sin of worry, whatever it is, stop, pray about it. Even thanking God for things is therapeutic. Anything. Whole list of things we're to be thankful for. And to offer up thanks. He's brought us all this way. Those of us who have been on the long road to the conclusion of all this. He's brought us a long way. He's brought us through many trials, many situations, many changes. And he's done it. I didn't do it. I did what I'm supposed to do. Maybe not perfectly, but fine. We're here. We're at this point on the timeline. And we don't have much time left. The world is clueless. They're out here and do not see what's coming. It's the day of the Lord. It's upon the human race. It's unlike any time that humanity has ever gone through anything in all the nations, all over the earth. Well, it takes faith. It takes information. It calms me down. Yeah, I see the evildoers, the worst of the evildoers. I'm the ones in particular I'm looking at, not just the people running around here in town. But I'm talking about at the very top of the pyramid of evil. I hear and see these people. They're nothing. They're coming down. All their schemes, all their plans are going to blow up on them. And the Lord's going to step in with His wrath and judge this mess. So that's what I have to have comfort in. They are not going to go on indefinitely. This whole mystery of lawlessness thing is coming to an end. But before it does, it's going to reach this big peak, part of which we won't be here. We won't have to deal with the Antichrist and that mess. But everything building up to it, we're expected to perform in this environment. And I don't know what we will have to go through individually, collectively, between now and getting out of here. I don't know, but I don't have concern with that. I don't work myself up about that. God will take care of each day and whatever we have to endure to make it to the end. Once you do these things, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. This is inner peace. This is a spiritual dynamic of the Holy Spirit on the inside, giving someone peace in the midst of even big, big attacks and suffering. I have enjoyed this peace. It's amplified when you're under the bigger the test. It's amplified. It's an inner serenity and peace that you can have under the greatest threats to your well-being, overtly. But you have to acclimate to the plan of God. There are things we are promised and there are things we are not promised. We're not promised that we'll have no adversity and everything will be fine and our lives will rock along like it did back when and so forth. We're not promised that. We're promised that God will be with us in the midst of whatever we're under. And He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He is our Heavenly Father and He's a good parent. No, He isn't going to do everything the way I want it at every moment. So what? It's what He has that is best and I have to faith rest that. Will garrison, guard, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's your guard. That's your guard in the midst of this. So you don't step into this fear and anxiety thing. A big health test surfaces, or a health test surfaces. You don't know what it is. It might be your fill in the blank. It's not working right, or something else. Relax. Pray about it, of course. And God will bring you through it. Many of us have had serious health tests along the way. And God brought us through. And hopefully as you went through it, you had a relaxed mental attitude and you had peace because you were occupied with Christ and truth. He is the truth. And it helped you through that. Whatever those around you were doing. And then you were a witness too, because you were relaxed. You weren't falling apart. Like so many people are when they are diagnosed with something. Fall back on the doctrine. This is working for my good. Oh, that's working for you. Yes. All things. Not just some things. This peace results where there is the filling of the Holy Spirit and resonant Bible doctrine, Galatians 5:22, which we know to be talking about the believer in time. For those that might be hearing this, that might be for the first time hearing this, let me explain. After salvation, you and I are ruled either by our sin nature or the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we get from one to the other? Well, we get from the rulership or the filling of the Holy Spirit by personal sin. And there's all kinds of ways in which we can sin. Mental attitude, overt, sins of the tongue, so forth. We can throw that like a light switch. We can get back in fellowship by simply confessing to God as a believer priest your current round of STA activity. all you got to do. And you can bounce back and forth like someone go back there with that switch and just keep going like that. But keep throwing the switch. You're in a room. It's totally dark. You fumble for and you find the switch. Boom. Now you can see and operate. That's a very good analogy for being in and out of fellowship. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Well, there's a ton of that going on in our world. Sexual misbehavior all over the place. Idolatry in all of its forms. Sorcery, people messing around in the occult. Enmities, let's change it. This is where people are in strife with each other. Enmities, strife, jealousy. People are jealous. It's a sin. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, you know, crazy partying, and things like these, of which I forewarn you just as I forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You knock out your SG3, not your salvation. Unbelievers who practice these things, obviously, they got the larger issue of believing in Christ. And they're not going to hell for their sins. They're going to hell because they haven't believed in Christ or didn't believe in Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit, the production of the Spirit, is love. That's divine love, kind of love that God is and promotes. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, in other words, being reliable, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And then he goes on to say, now those who belong to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh. Every believer has put, I use the expression, you put your STA in its cage. It wants to get out immediately, but you put it in its cage. When you confess your sins. And for a moment, you are in fellowship. Now, if you perpetuate that by making good decisions, you can carry that for however long. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, that's the salvation adjustment. Got it? You read your Bible and pick up on things. If you don't know, if you haven't been taught by a pastor teacher, you can read this and you'll probably miss a lot of things. You will, inevitably. If we live by the Spirit, we do. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed the truth to you and gave you regeneration, the new birth. If we live by the Spirit, and we do, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful. There's a sin of the tongue. Bragging about stuff. There's sanctified boasting. Boasting in the Lord. Predicating on, this is what God did for me. That is not sinful. God blessed me with that. That is absolutely legitimate and glorifies God. But boasting, bragging, challenging one another, envying one another. We're not to envy other members of the royal family around here or anywhere else. If they're blessed in an area, great. All for them. This happened to them. They got this or that. Had this happen for them. I didn't envy them. I'm glad for them. They're members of the body. God blessed them with something. And we're thankful for that. envying and jealousy is not a part of the Christian way of life. It is rampant in the world. And we don't envy the wicked either. Not those folks. Because they live in this nice area of the city with monster-sized homes and big fancy cars. You ought to look on the inside and see some of the stuff they go through. On their way to getting all that, keeping all that, with no hope, and they live in this. It is a kind of a prison. Because it's a dead end. You acquire more, double your assets, what do you got? Well, you got twice as much, but you're not twice as happy. You're always concerned about losing it. Something happening. So no, I don't envy the guy in the big Learjet and running around all over the earth. He's a fool. He ought to be in Bible class. One of my believers told me the other night about how in his line of work he was promised all this if he would move or go here and do this. And by his boss. Turned it down because it knocked him out of Bible class. Take him away from his home more than he wanted to be. Running around doing business. Yeah, some of these, they'll work you right into the grave. They'll work you to death. Or until you quit because you can't handle it anymore. And they'll hire a guy and hire him for half the salary. They're not loyal to you. He's stuck with Bible doctrine. He took a big pay cut. He didn't follow the American cosmos way of looking at everything. Getting ahead. Oh, we'll move and live here because I can double my salary. Yeah. And then you cut out all that's important. And then you might wind up dying early. This mentality exists out there. Always trying to get ahead, gain more, and then they die. It's our Ecclesiastes mantra. All is vanity and chasing after the wind. I'm glad a rich guy wrote that. A really rich guy. He told us that. And that's what the end game is for people. No matter how bad things might have been in your life up to this point or whatever you've lost, put all that behind you, start anew, get under doctrine, and get informed with regard to the eternal rewards package, the salvation one, of course, and the eternal rewards package, where we won't have to talk about, well, you lost it all. Fickle riches. There's so many stories of so many people that had all this, and it all went down. Uncertain riches. This crazy quest. If God's prospering you, fine. Materially. And some of you are prospered materially. And we're prospered in different ways. But don't envy these fools. That you can pity them. It may, you know, but don't envy these people. They all end up in the same as all the ones in all the history that had all their big glory moments. Attained to this, and they're gone. Well, all the Christians before us are gone too, but they're in heaven waiting for their reward package and their resurrection body. This is the important quest. Not the quest of the things of this world. They will come to us as God distributes them if we pursue His kingdom first. That's the formula. Seek first the kingdom of God. Find out the operating rules of God's kingdom, live under those rules, and all these other things will be added to you. He will turn all of these things that are against you to a positive. All your adversity, all of it, whatever you're suffering under. Inner peace is a royal imperative, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it reign supreme in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. As I said, offering up thanks to God for little things. Thank you, Father. Little stuff. And the big stuff. Thank you. It's therapeutic. God's going to be God whether you thank Him or not. But it's a good thing to thank people for things. We know that, don't we? To have genuine appreciation. Thank you for that. We do that. We're normal human beings. We extend thanks to people. So we should thank God, who is the source of everything that's important to us and keeps us going and will not let us down, will not forsake us. People might forsake us. Oh, yeah, they'll do it. But God won't. He'll always be there through it all. It is for every circumstance. That can be challenged. When you hear about another believer going through something serious, this is a prayer wish that Paul ends towards the end of this letter. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace. There we go. Kind of jumps out at you, doesn't it? He is the Lord of peace. He brings salvation peace, as noted. He gives us experiential peace in every circumstance of life if we will tap into it. And He's going to bring peace to this world. We're going to end all this conflict, all these awful wars, and all these conflicts with humans. No, people on the earth in the millennium won't be perfect. And I'm sure there's individuals who will have conflicts with each other because they have sin natures. But He is the Prince of Peace. He will defeat all of His enemies and set up His kingdom on the very earth we're on today. And we'll be able, and we will administer His kingdom as His servants, civil servants, whatever you want to call them, over the nations, the places where people reside, as the millennium continues to expand, as more and more people come on board in that population explosion. Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Thessalonians were under persecution in their society because they broke from their culture, their pagan culture. And it's like a slap in the face to these people to turn away from these traditions of men and idolatry within families. Notice how reactive families are when people turn to the truth. One family member starts going with the truth and had that. A lot of times, and I've experienced a little bit too in my life, a certain level of persecution. And sometimes it's extreme in people, what they try to do. If you turn to God and His plan. But family isn't first. God's first. In every circumstance, the Lord be with you all. Well, that's not just a platitude. It's a wish on the part of the apostle for the Thessalonian group who got themselves hooked into something wrong. And that, in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians wasn't a corrective. It was, hang in there, you did the right thing. You're the model church. If we had to pick a church out from its inception to this point, the model church. But then they got hooked into, so they're always out there. False teachers. People with a line that maybe even sounds plausible. And the Thessalonians, gulp, got caught. We're in the day of the Lord. What? They weren't in the day of the Lord. They weren't in the trib. So they got pushed back on their heels by some disreputable type person that wrote a letter pretending to be Paul. What kind of people do that? They're out there. They're out there and they have their consciences are seared. They have no scruples. And they do this stuff in the name of God. Using God. Dropping the God word. And they're corrupt as they can be. Well, it's easy to protect yourself from these people. Just stay away from them. Well, you run across them occasionally. They're deceived and they're deceiving others. That's why God has told us in the last days, find your right pastor, hook up with him, and hang in there. If there's something he doesn't know he needs to know, God will get it to him. The time is right. You can always pray for that too, by the way. If there's anything we yet need to know that would help us a lot, pray about it. We did this with our new biblical cosmology. And now, we've got that established in front of us. We're not deceived by those clowns anymore. Unless we want to be. And we paid a big price for that one. But okay. Paid a price. Take up your cross every day, and when things change relative to it, it changes. Psalm 4:8. This particular is a Psalm of David. And believers at times, like David, came under a lot of attack. And he, of course, in his position as a king, he had some big political enemies within the nation. He didn't have to look around outside to the nations. He had political enemies. He had people that were jealous of his position, who were negative and would not rejoice in him. And so he was under a lot of pressure at times by these people who wanted to overthrow him. And he's in the rightful place because this is a place God put him in. Answer me when I call. You imagine giving God a directive? This is an example of coming boldly before the throne of grace. Answer me when I call out. O God of my righteousness, you relieve me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? There's a backstory to this. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Selah, that's like pause. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart. More than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. Some people can't sleep because they're so agitated constantly. All this is going through their head. Everything will be taken care of. Whatever's out there or in your life that is a pressure to your soul, lie down. Take it one day at a time. He's going to work this out. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. It's not my cleverness. It's not me that keeps me safe. Yes, I try, personally, I try to make good decisions with regard to my safety. But God is my safety. He will take care of me. All right, let's take our break. If you would like a cup of coffee, it's on the house.